Gordon Hayden.
Now we love movies. It is time to take a look at what is out in cinemas this weekend. Rory Cashin and Brian Lloyd join me over the phone this week. Gentlemen, hope you're both keeping well. First out of the traps, Rory, we're going to take a look at DreamWorks' new animated film, Boss Baby. Alec Baldwin voices the voice of the little baby in this. But it's not really a little baby. Is it a man in a baby's body?
It's a grown-up, kind of, in a baby's body. Like, it's very difficult to explain the plot. It's got like a real 4 a.m. Meeting pitch vibe, you know. Just be like, just give me anything, just give me any idea you got. And you're like, okay, I've got it. What if Alec Baldwin is the boss of the company where they make babies, and then he goes down and is a baby, and then he has to team up with his big brother who doesn't like him because they want to be puppies, because puppies are now more cute than babies, and no one wants babies anymore. They don't want puppies.
Oh, well, that definitely sounds like a 4 a.m. Idea that was dreamt up over a few Jamaican woodbines. Let's take a clip from the film. Plus, we're also going to hear from Alec Baldwin off the back of it, talking about his experience voicing the main character in Boss Baby.
Who are you?
Let's just say I'm the boss.
The boss? You're a baby. You wear a diaper.
You know who else wears diapers? Astronauts and NASCAR drivers, that's who. It's called efficiency, Templeton. The average toddler spends, what, 45 hours a year on the potty? I'm the boss. I don't have that kind of spare time.
I loved doing this because it is just so nuts. And then it's got this wonderful heart inside it, too, as I become, won over by the idea of really being in a family. The psychologics of the characters. They make the animated characters more like actors, and they behave like them, and they exude like them. They shoot us reading the lines, and they do this computer thing so that where the Boss Baby character does what I would do, you know? Or maybe does it better.
Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Rory, the plot to it sounds completely and utterly bananas, but does it hold together, or is it one unmitigated mess?
The film holds together for one reason, and one reason only, and that is Alec Baldwin, because he is essentially voicing Jack Donaghy, the character of Jack Donaghy in this film. Like, he is someone who's trying to impress his boss, he is someone who has his own parent issues, and like some of the jokes in it, I was like, I'm pretty sure that is actually a direct joke from 30 Rock if I actually tried to look at, like, hunt it down at all. But like, on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, you seem to have pinned all your hopes onto this one aspect of your film. On the other hand, it's Alec Baldwin. Like, if you do have him as a voice, of course you're going to pin everything to him, because he has like one of the most marvelous voices in cinema. Like, he really, really does. And every line that comes out of his mouth in this film, because he is a grown-up in a baby's body, is kind of hilarious. But also, the whole film is just that one joke. It's like, what if this newborn baby was essentially Jack Donaghy?
Do you think this is the type of movie that will play better for the Smurfs audience? Like, we're talking, they're under fours.
Like, I think they'll enjoy the hyper visual aspect of it. Like, what the trailers and stuff looked very bland to me, like visually, and like the colors and stuff, it looked just like someone had a very one note idea of how the film should look. And then when you watch it, like, there's lots of like flights of fancy, because the older brother in this, he's very like imagination heavy, so all the action sequences is going to take place in his mind.
Okay.
And those are animated really, really well, and they look great. So the kids will like get distracted by that, and the parents will enjoy, you know, Alec Baldwin's sometimes double entendres, but instead of it being a sexy double entendre, it's probably about poop.
Okay. Out of 10 for it, Rory?
If you've got kids, I'd say 7.5.
Okay.
If you don't, I'd say it's probably a 6.
That is Boss Baby, which is out in cinemas this weekend. Very shortly, Brian's going to be talking about a foreign movie called Raw. It's a cannibal movie. Some very interesting reviews coming through in regard to that one. But first, Oscar winners Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine and Alan Arkin, they team up as lifelong buddies Willie, Joe and Al, who decide to book retirement and step off the straight and narrow for the first time in their lives when their pension fund becomes a corporate casualty. Desperate to pay their bills and come through for their loved ones, the three risk it all by embarking on a daring bid to knock off the very bank that absconded with their cash. Here's a clip from Going in Style.
They're taking my house. You're taking your house and you didn't tell us?
What are you going to do, lend me money? We're all broke. The three of us combined. These banks practically destroyed this country. They crushed a lot of people's dreams. And nothing ever happened to them. We're three old guys. We hit a bank. We get away with it. We retire with dignity. Worst comes to the worst. We get caught. We get a bed, three meals a day, and better health care than we get now.
Now, We Love Movies, we caught up recently with Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine to talk about their experience working on Going in Style. First off, here's them telling us on why comedy was the ideal way to explore the themes in the film.
Interesting thing about comedy is you laugh at yourself. You can see your own predicament in comedy kind of easily. And rather than making it sorrowful, you know, a tearjerker, I think people have a tendency to want to laugh. When things get worse, let's laugh. They say laughter's the best medicine.
Well, also, if things get bad enough, the only thing you've got left is laughter. You just got to laugh about it. And also, we come from a background, although being broke and mortgages and all that wouldn't apply to us.
Right now.
We come from a background which is much poorer than the background of these guys.
Mm. Yeah.
And finally, here's Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine talking to us again on We Love Movies about the impact the film will have and how relatable they are as actors.
I think because people can, a lot of people will be able to see themselves in this, and the laughter will be genuine. I think the impact is going to be word of mouth.
Yeah. It'd be word of mouth. And also, it's different from the old days. Like when I was a young man, I used to see film stars and they were these like great gods and the handsome men, and like I could never be them, but I could worship them and great beautiful women and all that. And we've got rid of that style of movie now. Otherwise, we wouldn't be actors, you know. What you're sitting is looking at, you should be saying, how does he know that about me when you watch us? Mm. Because we do know that about you, because we are you. Mm-hmm. We're not some great big movie star who's sitting there and never done know what the hell's gone on in their life, you know, and keeps calling for a servant to come in and take the fly away.
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
So that is Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine there talking about their new movie Going in Style. Now, next up, Brian, we're going to talk about Raw, which is this new foreign language movie playing in cinemas this weekend. It's a cannibal film, and by all accounts, it's meant to be fairly gruesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's about a young girl who has been raised her entire life as a vegetarian. She's never tasted meat before. She goes to college for the first time, and she is exposed to meat. And when she eats it, she has, we'll say, a pretty violent reaction to it. And she starts to undergo these massive changes in herself. And yeah, the film kind of spirals out of control after that.
It sounds like this is a film that was written by a vegan.
Probably was, yeah. I'm not too sure. It was a French-Belgian writer-director who did it. But from what I've heard of it, I mean, it seems to be kind of blending parts of like Carrie with, you know, kind of college gross out comedies, you know, that kind of way, like Old School and, you know, Days and Confused and stuff like that. But it's weird. I mean, like, there was a report I was reading that when it was screened at the Sundance and the Toronto International Film Festival, people were actually dry heaving in the aisles after watching it. So, yeah.
So that's one definitely for the horror fans playing in cinemas this weekend. Rory and Brian, they'll be back a little later on as we're going to be taking a look at some of the best and worst Stephen King adaptations. As you would know by now, the It trailer was only released about a week ago and people have been raving about it. We'll be going through some of the best and worst Stephen King movies a little later on.
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Now, out in cinemas next week is a film a lot of people are excited to see. It's the 8th installment in the series, Fast and Furious. We're going to talk about one of its stars very shortly with Andy McCarroll. Dwayne Johnson, this man has been known as franchise Viagra, but he is now the most bankable star on the planet. Let's just hear from him now, talking about his experience working on the brand new Fast and Furious film.
So there's moments in movies where you have to suspend your disbelief, and that's what we do when we go to movies, right? And we love it. So when that idea was pitched to me, It's like, okay, we're going to do something that's never been done with the character of Hobbs. I'm like, okay, tell me. And Chris Morgan tells me, you're going to get out, you're going to grab onto to the door of the vehicle, you're going to be sliding on the ice, going 95 miles an hour, and you're going to redirect a torpedo with your bare hand, not plural, not hands, hand. And I said, so, and then what do we do with it? He says, you redirect it right to the bad guy's car and you're gonna save the day. What do you think? And I said, love it. We start high-fiving Chris Morgan, not at the absurdity of it and the coolness of it, but we start high-fiving in that this is a moment where audiences are going to go crazy because they're having fun.
Joining me now to take a look at the career to date of Dwayne Johnson is Andy McCarroll. Andy, before we take a look at the genesis of his career so far, would you be a fan of his?
I really would. I don't know anyone that wouldn't be. He just kind of has that everyman star quality where he's just this, like he's very much a superstar, but still seems very grounded and down to earth. And if you tell me you don't like him, I'll be very surprised and disappointed.
No, do you know what? I have to say I do like him because he has lots of charisma, but he doesn't come across as an ego tripper. Doesn't take himself too serious. And of course, yeah, he can do the action no problem. But he has a little bit of weight to him. Like he can easily do comedy. He has the comedic chops. And I think he could turn his hand at a bit of drama as well. We haven't really seen too much of that side of him. But he is just on such an amazing run at the moment. So Andy, take us through him going from being a very successful wrestler to now being one of the biggest movie stars on the planet.
Yeah, he seems to be someone who seems to be constantly reinventing himself. Like he started off in the WWE, was the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, basically conquered that. Moved on to little bit parts in movies like The Mummy Returns and The Scorpion King. And even while that's going on, he's doing these kind of little side projects like releasing songs with Wyclef Jean. And now up until recently, he's opening his own production company. And it's not like small films he's going for. He's producing things like Rampage, which is about, giant monsters attacking the city. He's also got his own clothing line. And by the way, I've got receipts for you because during research for this, I ended up spending €70 on Under Armour t-shirt. So he does have that, gravitas to him. He's like a bloke's version of Beyonce. He's everybody likes him. He just doesn't have a bad quality to him. Like he recently went through a divorce there, and him and his ex-wife still appear to be best friends. She helps run his charities, and the two of them do have these like kind of great back and forths on Twitter. Like you can see, even when you're getting divorced from him, you still can't help but like the guy.
And he knows how to play the game, Andy. He's very savvy on social media, even when it comes to the junket setup where you've got a conveyor belt of journalists. He switches it on there as well.
And I do think that's part of his appeal as well. Like he's so immensely positive the whole time. And as you said, like even like journalists or, those kind of press junket interviews, he engages people. He really seems like he's interested in what you're saying. And he just, like you can see from his social media, from his workouts, from like the 50 million films that he's linked with at the moment, he works so hard. Mm. And it's really hard to begrudge somebody who's able to, throw themselves into so much and still maintain a kind of a positive attitude. It's hard to, begrudge them the massive success that he's actually been able to build.
When he made the transition from the WWE and film roles started coming his way, granted they were really trying to make him out to be like the next Arnold Schwarzenegger type, and you had that scene in, it was over here, it was called, was it Rumble in the Jungle or something like that?
It was Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome
here,
to the Jungle. Thanks, Andy. Where there was almost like a passing of the torch, where you had Schwarzenegger making a cameo in the movie and him sort of anointing him as the next big action star. But it's still, though, the big roles weren't really coming his way. Like, yeah, he was making movies, but like he wasn't setting the world on fire. Like, what was the big gear change that made people sit up and take note of his acting career?
He started off in kind of those action films, but they weren't, those kind of classic no-brainers. Like, he was doing things like Walking Tall, which is kind of semi-based on a true story, and then followed that up with the cameo in Be Cool, where he was like a gay bodyguard struggling actor. Like, he wasn't making those kind of straight-to-video action films you'd expect from a wrestler, making the transition. But saying that, it wasn't until he became, he got the role in the Fast and the Furious movies, he just took off since then, and he's been on just an absolutely incredible run since then. You mentioned franchise Viagra there. Like, he made a G.I. Joe sequel make, you know, $500 million. And if that's not, you know, a testament to his star power, I don't know what is.
Very true. Now, let's look at his upcoming slate, Andy, because he's got so much in the pipeline. There's a reboot of Jumanji, which I don't know if it's like a sequel or what way they're doing that. But then he's got the big screen adaptation of Baywatch, which is very much trying to go after the 21 Jump Street crowd. And then he's got the superhero flick Shazam in the works. He's got the TV series Ballers on the go. And then he's hoping to bring back to life John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China. There's loads going on.
He does. He's kind of integrating himself into everything. He's doing the reboot. He's playing the lead in the Big Trouble in Little China. And he's kind of, you know, banned straight away. We're backlashing there. And he was able to, you know, he made a couple of posts and, you know, basically confessing his love to the original and assuring people he wasn't going to, you know, take a dump all over that. And then he was able to kind of placate people there. And then he's moved on to, you know, the most notoriously difficult of all fans to please, the comic book ones. And he's playing like a really kind of obscure character. He's playing a bad guy as well, which would be a nice kind of change of pace from everyone's kind of assuming he'd be playing Captain Marvel. But he's actually playing the bad guy, Black Adam. And again, he's going to be integrated into the DC universe. So, you know, The Rock versus Batman, The Rock versus Superman. It's just, it's opened up a whole nother world for him. And someone who's kind of as business savvy as he is, I don't think that was a mistake jumping in there.
And you have to admire the fact that he knows he's hot property at the moment. And so he's trying to be as diverse as possible with the projects that he's taking on board. But I don't even know how he keeps himself in such nick that he's in, because, you know, he puts a lot of time into the gym. You've then got to learn these scripts. You've got to choose these projects. Like, making movies and TV shows, they are long, exhausting hours. Whatever vitamins he's on, Andy, can you find that out? Did you manage to get that in research?
Sadly not. The only thing I've got is kind of hashtag boots to asses, which seems to be his answer to everything, and focus. I've been screaming them in the gym for the last few weeks. I don't quite look the same as him. He also has that ridiculous diet. I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of his cheat meals.
No.
Where he's eating like 10, 15 pizzas, cheesecakes. It's just, he is an absolute monster of a human being. Like, he just, you look at him and you look at me and just think, we're not the same species. You've evolved into something completely different.
Well, I forget which one of his co-stars it was, but they said, like, on the set or whatever, I think it was either on the G.I. Joe film or the Fast and Furious, one of those films, they said every time they turned around when it was a bit of downtime, there would be Dwayne Johnson stuffing his face with a steak. Because, like that, to keep up that physique that he has to be taken in when he's, like, on set on a movie where he's got to be in such good condition. Something like 5,000 calories a day. Something bananas
I could definitely... There's no bananas in that. I could do the 5,000 calories a day now. It's working it off that would be the issue for me.
No one's going to judge you, Andy.
Not by his standards, anyway. With regards to, you know, the attitude you're saying on the cast of the Fast and the Furious, I've said before, he's very much the hardest worker in the room, and that seems to have kind of put him at odds with Vin Diesel, who's known for his kind of laid back, you know, we'll show up, we'll get the shot when we want to. And there's kind of a feud. I think it started off as a kind of a, you know, a social media trending, but I think there's very real animosity between that. I feel like The Rock, kind of, when he sees this opportunity that they have with the Fast and Furious franchise and they're constantly building, he throws his heart and soul into that. And someone like Vin Diesel, who would be a bit more kind of laid back, you can see The Rock getting kind of infuriated with him that he's not kind of working to his level on things like that.
But at the same time, you see, Vin Diesel is the main man, and there's a bit of an alpha male thing going on, because Dwayne still has to toe the line. He is not the captain of the ship. Vin Diesel's the captain of the ship. He's the producer, and that's probably niggling him that it's still not his franchise. So there's probably a little bit of handbags at dawn going on. The thing is, all in all, Andy, from our chats about Dwayne Johnson, very likable man, hugely successful. We're delighted for his success. It doesn't seem like he's got any skeletons in his closet.
No, you're still kind of waiting for that one big scandal to come out. Like, as I said, even his divorce, he came out of that smelling of roses. It was just completely amicable. There was nothing bad. He's, you know, post pictures of his new wife and his child. He just doesn't seem to have a bad bone in his body. Like, I kind of, you know, it disgusts me in a way, because I really just want to see him have, you know, this real horrible secret come out about him. So, oh yeah, granted, that'll kind of justify all my mistakes now if he can fall.
It remains to be seen, but like, if that veneer will ever slip at all. But Andy, thank you so much for that. That is part one of We Love Movies to a close. But Andy will be back in part two, as we'll be going through this week's movie news, plus with the recent release of the trailer for It. We're going to be taking a look at some of the best and worst Stephen King adaptations. That's all to come on We Love Movies.